the buzzer, McCord on its way. Oh my goodness!
They have to get it. No timeouts, they do.
Courtside with Greenberg and Dokic, the definitive college basketball podcast.
Welcome to the world's greatest podcast, TBT edition. You know, we got to cover a lot of different things here today. TBT edition, because you know what? The TBT has figured it out. Using obviously excellent attention to detail in terms of screening and making sure that it's as safe an environment as possible. But the TBT in a lot of ways is doing what Major League Baseball couldn't do, what the NBA is struggling to do. And TBT is alive and well, and so we're going to have our TBT edition of Courtside. And if we're going to have a TBT edition of Courtside, we got to welcome in Dan. We got to welcome in Fran Fischella, the mayor of the TBT. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, nobody reeks of TBT more than Franny Fischella. What's up, my friend? Hey, Fran, real quick, right into the TBT. 2 million down to one because of all the testing. What would cancel the tournament? I need to know, like, what would be, you know, the Rudy Gobert moment?
Yeah, I don't know. First of all, Seth was giving that intro to the TBT. I'm knocking on wood because give John Mugo a lot of credit. We had a feeling, given the way he thinks outside the box through the years, that he would come up with something to at least try to ensure that this is going to be a safe environment. But we don't know for sure. Having said that, you know, we're going to have two extra teams besides the 24, just in case. And we just can't have an outbreak. You know what I mean? We just can't have a virus outbreak on site in Columbus. You guys know Nationwide is a big place. They can socially distance and spread out. I've got my fingers crossed because, as you guys know, it's the first, to me, at least in the States, the first team-oriented type of event, since coronavirus, since March 11th, when we all got shut down with college hoops.
It's also going to be a precursor because, I mean, if this does go, and that also sends a message that, you know what, it is possible in a very strict environment, because the amount of testing they're going to do for that, testing prior, testing on site, checking temperatures, testing again, I mean, they do have a very good checks and balances protocol. And let's face it, dealing with the virus now, it's all, you know, moving forward for sport. Don't you guys think it's coming up with a protocol so that you don't have to shut down? What's your guys' take on that?
No, I don't know about you guys, but I'm out here in Colorado the last month or so, and I'm wearing my mask. I'm socially distancing. I've been to restaurants 10 different times, and everybody's, I think, figuring out. For the most part. Now, you just don't know. I haven't gotten on an airplane since March 12th. But we're starting to figure out that, number one, here's what you have to do in order not to spread the virus. And the second thing is, if you're in reasonably good health, I'm 61, so I'm in that age range where it's getting a little dicey. But I just think with young people, in sports as well, guys, we got to have a mixture of getting life back to normal as safely as possible and just not locking ourselves inside our houses for the next 12 to 18 months until they have a virus. I'm not living that way, and I don't think you guys want to do it, but I am doing everything they tell me to do to be safe.
Yeah, I am too, and I've decided I'm not living that way. I'm with you on that. All right, into the games. Limited field came out yesterday.
Yep.
You know, the seating, you get a bye, others don't, that kind of thing. What do you anticipate the quality of basketball? I'm going to just say from my own side, I see more guys that we know signing up. I see people trying, all of a sudden figuring out, wait a second, they're actually giving away $1 million if we win this thing. I think this is going to be the best we've ever had in terms of quality of play. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I think so too, Dan. I mean, you know, most of the, I'm sure there are teams on the outside looking in, like Fort Wayne Champs and others who have had a history at the TBT, but I think John and his TBT staff have put together another great field. The beauty of the TBT, if you're listening to this podcast and haven't watched it over the last few years and been a part of it like we have, is that the level of play is so good. You know, it's not NBA, but it's not that much, you know, it's not that much far below. All the guys that you remember who played in college, whether it's at Marquette or Syracuse or Ohio State or other places like that, if they've been playing overseas, they are way better than they were when they were in college. So the level of play is great. I think the one thing that I always like about the TBT guys, I don't know how you feel, Seth, but when we do these games, guys make shots. You know, we do college games during the season, and we'll do a clunker sometimes, and it'll be 53-48. You don't see that in TBT because these guys are professional scorers, and they're a lot better than they were, you know, 3, 4, 5, 7 years ago.
I say it all the time. College guys take good shots and miss them. Pros take bad shots and make them. But in the TBT, I think the thing that, Dan, I think you'd agree with me, the high basketball IQ in this thing is a joke. These guys have played all over the world. They've played a zillion games. They have high basketball IQs. They have tremendous skill levels. They're shot makers. They're competitive. They understand spacing. They're winning players because when you go overseas, let's face it, if you're not a winning player, you don't last very long. So I think that between having that part, having the alumni teams, having the teams with a cause, having the community-based teams. I mean, hey, think about this, Dan. You've got Syracuse, Bayham's Army, they got 4 first-round draft choices on their team. That's crazy.
Yeah, and, you know, there's some guys that were really good, like Jerome Randall, dribble and drive, is, you know, this tall. He's not, you know, but he's dominant. I mean, absolutely dominant. One thing that I like, and this is something that equates to college and the NBA, I don't know if Carmen's crew, who's the Ohio State group with Kraft and Leidy, coached by Sullinger and those guys, I don't know if they're the most talented team, but they're a team that's a real team, like what you see in the NCAA tournament when the Villanova or Virginia wins a national championship. Franny, I don't think they're too far off of that. And you see veteran teams, like I mentioned Eberlin Drive, they've been together, Challenge ALS. They've been together. The Golden Eagles from Marquette, they've been together. Yeah. Bayham's Army, they've been together. This isn't like, for people that are just tuning in, this isn't a collection of guys basically put together, at least at the top end of this. These are basketball teams with players that know one another. And, Fran, I think that's what that annealing ending makes this thing fantastic.
Yeah, and, you know, Seth made a good point about playing overseas. I'll just share this with you. For about 12 years, I was involved with the NBA's international camp in Italy. And you literally, guys, could put an offense in with a couple inbounds plays, a couple wrinkles in 30 minutes with those international young guys. And they just learn the game at a different level over there, and they are pros early. And so it always amazed me that overseas elite, you know, could win it 4 years in a row. They never practice. And it's not just, as you guys know, they're talented. But Paris Horn and Justin Burrell are not the most talented guys in this tournament. But they, to Seth's point, they know how to play. They know pick and roll coverages. They know how to move the ball. They make the extra pass. These are things that they get a little bit of in college, but when they turn pro and they want to stay at pros for 8, 9, 10 years, you have to just play the game the right way. And I think, Dan, the Carmen's crew team is a perfect mixture of guys who played together in college and were a great college team, have gone their separate ways and become even better players, probably have learned even more about the game, and they were well coached under Thad Mata. They come back together in the summer, and those guys do practice or at least play together in pickup games. And I think, to your point, that's what makes them so good is – the combination of being really good 4, 5, 7, 8, 10 years later and the chemistry they've had since they were teenagers, where a lot of these guys even played AAU together.
You know, the interesting thing to say about that, we had David Leidy on the preview show yesterday. You go to TBT.com. It's an hour and 40 minutes of magic, I must say. But, like, listening to David Leidy talk about his teammates and the experiences that they had and listening to him talk about Aaron Kraft was really, really cool. Because I call Aaron Kraft the Conor McGregor of the TBT. He's going to retire, then he unretires. It's like every year it's something different. But there are a lot of good, really good teams. Like, you know, like let's just go into a couple of teams real quick. Like West Virginia, like the West Virginia group. I mean, if they can make shots, I'm interested. I'm going to ask you guys, like, you know, West Virginia, they're going to get up into you. They're going to deny. They're going to pressure. They're going to do all the things that they did when they were playing at for Bobby. Can that style of play against the veteran players, high basketball IQ guys? I'm a big believer. You don't win the TBT with first-year guys or second-year guys. You've got to have KG veterans. It's just the way it is. But can a team like West Virginia, that West Virginia team, impose their will on the TBT, or do you think that the guys are just too skilled?
Wait a minute, Dan. Dan, you really think that team's going to go out there without Bob Huggins screaming at them and press for 40 minutes? I don't know. I think they're going to – I don't know. They're going to go hard. No, absolutely. Absolutely. No, I don't know. I don't know if we'll see full court pressure from them the way we saw press Virginia, you know, with Javon Carter. Of course, Daxter Miles is on this roster. But, and to Seth's point, you know, they're Huggins guys. And, you know, Kevin Jones played a little bit in the NBA. Deshaun Butler was on that Final Four team with Jones. I do like this team because I do think they bring a little Bobby Huggins toughness, you know, with them. And again, because they've been playing, a couple of those guys were in the G League this past year playing really well. So I do think they'll have the DNA.
What do you think?
They asked me to coach in my state for a day, then I left. I don't.
I thought maybe you'd make it right. Dan, that would have been a perfect full circle return if you'd have come back and coach West Virginia this year.
I agree. They got nothing. West Virginia, they me leaving cost them two championships. They got nothing. The team I'm looking at, you know, I'm anxious. The House of Pain, like, I thought last year they got the Dominator now. Remember Mike Dom? Matt Mooney them from Texas Tech. I got to believe Matt Mooney and Fran, you know this way better than I do, but I got to believe Matt Mooney from Texas Tech is the kind of guy in the TBT that blends a team together and is good enough to go win for it. I thought that was one of the best pickups of any team this past offseason was Matt Mooney coming to that team with Mike Dom and Malcolm Hill, who was a terrific player at Illinois. I think it's an interesting team, Franny.
Yeah, well, first of all, hey, Seth, Dan was recruited by Press Virginia to coach Mid-American Unity, right? Team X. I mean, he had his choice of teams. He decided to stay on the sideline and be a broadcaster. But no. I got you.
Unless you win it all, but, yes.
Yeah, but you know, Dan, you know me. I'm one of the presidents of the Matt Mooney fan club, watching him at Texas Tech. But I have to tell you, like, for every Matt Mooney on House of Pain, there's five other Matt Mooneys playing on, you know, team on Everline Drive or Overseas Elite. You know, that's the thing that we love about this tournament. You look on paper and say, hey, the money team, they got too much talent. Like, we were talking about this yesterday, Dan. Some of these teams on paper look great, and then you wonder whether they can really play together, or is there an ego involved? Whereas when we watch, you know, a Team ALS, you know, Challenge ALS, or Everline Drive, or Overseas Elite, those teams being in this tournament have already figured out that, look, if we don't play together, it doesn't matter how good our talent is, we're going to get beat.
But that's why, like Mooney, young legs with a you know, with that kind of mentality. I do. The other thing is,
like,
you know, who's going to show up? Like, Caleb Weston shows up for Andrew's team, Big X, kind of a difference maker. You know, certain guys are difference makers, and sometimes guys don't show. Sometimes, you know, they do. Or I know in one case, famously, a guy was way hung over because they had to go to a wedding the night before for the Red School.
I remember that.
Group. Carpet's screwing away.
Hey, Seth, let me ask you this, because this is a great thing that Dan brings up. We've watched Caleb Wesson be a really good college player, and he's going to be if he's not an NBA player, he's going to make money overseas. Does he have the ability to, say, dominate a Justin Burrell Mm-mm. Who's on the backside of a career, who's kind of like a Caleb Wesson. That's where I think the intrigue in this tournament is, when you do see the young guys jumping into TBT.
Well, here's the thing. If you're his agent, do you want him playing in the TBT, saying,
that's,
you know,
the question,
he can go and make a play? Or are you saying he goes to the TBT and Justin Burrell outplays him and it impacts the perception of his game? Because I think, like, think about this. The NBA is watching the TBT. And they're calling and doing interviews with dudes right now that cannot play, and these kids think that they're going to get drafted. So if they're doing those ridiculous interviews with non-players just to justify their work in the scouts, they're surely going to be locked into the TBT. So there's going to be a player, two or three, that's going to emerge from the TBT, that's going to get invited to camp, that's going to position themselves to make a roster, get a two-way contract. Something's going to happen. The TBT is going to make guys money. And I'll tell you the other thing. Those guys going over to Europe because of the virus, there might be some guys that say, you know, maybe I don't want to go to Europe. I'll take a two-way contract this year. So that's going to
be a great point.
I'm going to give
and
you
let me
go ahead.
Yeah. No, just to tie that up in a bow, because of the lateness this year, if some of these young kids do play in TBT, they may just decide to stick around and see what their G League two-way deals could be, as opposed to going to Europe, because, you know, the draft's not till October this year. And so, you know, normally you have the draft in the next couple of weeks, and then a kid goes to summer league and then signs with a team in Israel. You know how that is, because, you know, your brother Brad's one of the best coaches in Europe. So we're not going to have that opportunity for these young guys this year. So they might be able to jump from TBT and say, to your point, I'm sticking around. I think I'll just take a G League job and see if I can't get a little bit closer to the NBA.
Let me ask you the most important question. In terms of the growth of the TBT, all right, it's not who's playing. It's not what network it's on. It's this. Is there gambling on the TBT? Are there point spreads on the TBT? I don't know. I'm legitimately.
I would think there will be this year.
I would too.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I think if there's gambling on snail races, there's definitely going to be camp gambling on TBT this year. I mean, there's no question about it.
I'm not going to lie, Manny. I lost a little bit on Russian table tennis. True story. A little bit, just messing around on my show, laughing about it. But then I realized, wait, it's costing me money. But no, really, I mean, you think about the culture that we're in. DraftKings is rolling.
Oh.
I mean, and you know, that's a big deal to people, and that's a big deal in terms of the growth. I don't think you'll have fantasy sports with the TBT, you know, but I do think if you have online wagering, if you have lines, that enhances the growth of the TBT, guys. It does.
Fran, you could set the line, Fran, I think that's another role. The mayor.
Yeah. I may get Joe Lenardi involved in this here, you know. But hey,
Dan, let me ask you a question. Franny, you got to go back home. You got to go to Brooklyn. You got to get the fellas from the neighborhood to set.
No, that's
Lenardi
true.
Will
that's
tell
true.
You who's in the damn tournament, but the real.
But here's a serious question for you, Dan. Can you bet on the final NFL exhibition game?
Oh,
every season,
yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so I think if you have any basketball IQ or sports IQ, you have as good a chance of figuring out who's going to win a TBT game, or better than that final exhibition game of the preseason in the NFL, because you never know who's going to be playing in that game.
Fran, that is an absolute great point, because for those fans that don't know, the final game, the starters never play. They're done. It's the 59th, 60th, 80th man on a roster that plays. And, Fran, not only can you bet those games, you can bet first quarter, first half. You can bet any kind of way that you want to bet. And truth of the matter is, TBT would be much easier. It would. It would simply be much easier. Hey, Fran, are you surprised? Let's go through a couple of things here. You know, are you surprised that a team from Duke hasn't gotten in? North Carolina hasn't gotten in. Indiana hasn't gotten in. Purdue's in, I guess, first time this year. But are you surprised that some of these alumni groups?
No. Duke wouldn't work, because you'd have to move the families to Columbus. And
no!
That's probably-
oh! I love it! I love it!
Oh, man. You know, quite honestly, but no, there's a reason. There's a good reason. Duke's best players are all first-round picks. And quite frankly, the guys that aren't first-round picks, and I think he's transferred now to Creighton, but the Alex O'Connells of the world and the Jordan Goldwires couldn't play well in the TBT as young guys just coming out of college. So I'm not really surprised that, let's say, a Kentucky or a Duke have you know, although Kentucky was going to – did they have a team in last year?
Had good teams.
But did they have good players? Because
they had secondary guys. They didn't have anyone of substance that could
– No, play. So they got no chance. They got no chance. I mean, when you look at that Ohio State team, for example, you know, Whitey, you would notice, Dan, Whitey, Deepwater, Kraft almost made the Warriors – but all those guys are like the perfect TBT guys. Just not quite. Now, Sully made the league, but for the most part, really good college players. Yeah, yeah. Guys that were just quite not NBA players, but still have become really good professional players overseas. So I'm not really surprised. I mean, you know, I don't think Duke's second-line guys would be good enough to compete in the TBT. And Carolina,
I'll tell you who's are. Heartfire. Let me tell you something. That TBT team that Homer Drew is going to coach.
Yeah,
I don't know if they can make it. I don't know about their guard play, but I mean Isaiah Austin, Brandon Dawson, who plays hard as hell. I mean Ish Wainwright, who plays hard as hell. Quincy Miller can make some shots. Tweedy Carter. I mean, like that's a team that's kind of interesting. They've played together,
and that's a team. Seth, that's a team that knows each other, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what we're talking about with Carmen's crew. That's a group. That's a group that knows one another. They're a group. They're a team. They're guys that
they got. What,
yeah. Shared experience.
They got a little flavor of the region on that team, too.
Brandon Dawson.
Yeah. You got Brandon Wood, who played at Valpo, right? Finished up at he played with Valpo. He went from Valpo to Michigan State. That's right. Yeah. But he's a Homer Drew guy. We were talking about yesterday on the show. If you're having beers with Travis Diener after the game, you're having Diet Coke with Homer Drew after his game.
Yeah,
those guys, those Drews will sneak up on. No, I'm not buying
that. if they did an auction of all the players in the TPT who you want to have a post game beer with, Travis Diener, he would win. I mean, like he might be like just the image of a guy that just keeps 38 years old. I think he is now. He just keeps balling. He's going to be in a park. He's going to play till he loses. Then he's going to go to the pub. He's going to knock down a couple of beers, have some pizza, tell some stories. I mean, like to me, if you wanted to have a picture of a guy that represents the TBT, that's my man.
Last year, after the game in Chicago, Bob Rathburn and I are sitting at the bar, the hotel, where everybody's staying, right across the street from, the Windhorse Center or something like that. Tap on my shoulder, grab around my neck. I turn around. Who is it? Travis Diener.
Yep.
Sits down with his wife, couple of his boys. We have a couple beers. I go to bed because I'm 80. And it looked like they were going to have a great time telling stories and sitting and going. And so that is not myth. That is fact. I wouldn't be surprised, like, if they enact an alcohol test, I wouldn't be surprised what's in that water jug on the bench for Travis when he sits down after a stretch, after a shift. So there you go.
We might find out that Miller Lite kills the coronavirus. You know, who knows? I mean,
hey, I tell you what Miller Lite does. Gets me to shave my head. So I know it does something.
That's a great look, by the way. How about this team, Red Scare? What, like, going back to Ohio, like, what a cool thing to have, like, those two guys that just graduated Dayton that obviously had the season taken away from them with a chance to maybe go to the Final Four. And yet, you know, yesterday we had Devin Oliver on talking about how, you know, the Dayton family is as good as any. Like, everyone has a brotherhood. I mean, there's brotherhoods everywhere. It used to be a nation. You know, like, everyone, we had Patriot Nation. We had, you know, Hoosier Nation. It used to be nation. Now everyone has a brotherhood. But how about just to give these kids from Dayton a chance to kind of lace it up one more time together And their team's pretty damn good now.
That's well, you know what's funny, Dan? Yeah, you know what? You know what? Dan knows this because he knows. You know, he goes back through Coach Knight with Coach Coach Donaher, who was a great coach at Dayton. I can remember coaching in Ohio, and it didn't matter whether Dayton was good that year or average. That fan base is unbelievable. So on one hand, we're really sad the tournament is not going to be in Dayton this year. It's going to end up being in Dayton next year, Dan. But to Seth's point, Boeheim's Army, Carmen's crew, the Marquette Golden Eagles team, this Red Scare team, there's something about not only the brotherhood that Seth talked about, but the pride in representing like the fan base, which unfortunately we're not going to have fans this year, but I still think there's something about the pride of being a Dayton Flyer that kind of carries over into the games.
There's no doubt. I mean, you're right about Dayton. John Mueger was stunned at the crowd at Capital University. It's why whatever they call it, the Big Two or whatever, the first four in at the NCAA tournaments in Dayton. You know this. It's insane there. High school tournament's insane there. Basketball there is insane there. Don Donner, I actually worked with when he was idiotically let go at Dayton. He worked with us in Indiana for a year or two. And he's the first guy, Fran, Don Donner, who basically the whole basketball center is named after. He's the first guy I ever knew that somehow, some way could bet on horses in the middle of the day from Santa Anita in like 1991. I don't know how he did it, but I don't think he had a computer. But we'd be down there breaking down film, and my man would be like, "Hey Doc, you got $10? I'll give you 10 across the board for $30 on somebody from Santa Anita." We'd bet horses all day. That's all he wanted to do. Bet horse. It was awesome. So he's a legend in my mind.
Seth, I'm gonna bring you back years and years. You're not gonna remember this, but somehow I think I do. I think the first time I met you was in the late 70s at the Wheelchair Classic, and you were at Columbia. Could that be? And let me tell you who played in the Wheelchair Classic that game. Roosevelt Chapman.
Wow.
Remember Roosevelt Chapman?
Yeah, surely.
I was just thinking, like, Roosevelt Chapman, I mean, he's a little too old now to play in the TBT, but that's the kind of players Dayton's had through the years. Even when they haven't had pros like Obi Toppin this year, they've always had a lot of guys who not only become good players, but if you ask people about, you know, Don May and Roosevelt Chapman and Anthony Grant was a good player, as Dan remembers, and now these most recent, you know, group of guys like Devin Oliver, Deshaun Pierre, there's just that tradition that kind of – that's why they're always a dangerous team, because they're playing for more than the million. They're playing for each other.
Right.
I'll give you something about Dayton. I have in my box somewhere downstairs, when I was a little kid, we used to go to a holiday festival every year, Madison Square Garden, and Dayton played in – I still have that damn program. His picture was on the cover because Dayton played the same year that Princeton played, which is a crazy thing, but – All right, give me some sleeper teams. Let's talk about the money team first. Anyone think that Jordan Crawford, Tony Roten, you got Nick Johnson, Ledbetter, Godlock, Austin Day, Wiltshire, Willie Reed, Devin Williams, who's a beast, can that team win it as talented as they are, or is that team an accident waiting to happen?
Well, I think it gets back to what we said. I've looked over at some of these benches in the last few years, Team Fredette comes to mind a couple years ago. This team, because I think this team had some Team Fredette guys on there.
Yeah, they do.
I'd look over at the bench and say, wow, these guys are loaded. But it gets back to, again, are some of these guys coming off the bench going to be able to check their egos at the door and play the way we've seen overseas elite play for 5 years, or are they going to, is their chemistry going to be a little shaky? So they have talent, but I worry about the fact that can they play together, being thrown together the way they are. So I think we talked about this yesterday, Seth. I think on paper, they may have as much talent as anybody, but again, can they play together? That's a big key in this TBT, because this is no different than being, when we were teenagers playing in the park, and you know if you lose, you're done. So you're going to do everything you can to stay on the court. And if you're not a scorer, you're going to dive after the ball. You're going to screen. You're going to do the little things. And can that team check their ego at the door and do the little things? Otherwise, they're going to be gone and they're going to be waiting for an hour and a half to get on the court again. That's how I look at it.
You got a sleeper team, Dan?
Big X. I always pick my son's team. Ninth seed. Big X. Deshaun Woods, CJ Jackson, Andrew Dockett's distributed. Now, I got Big X. Don't at me. They thought they were going to get Trey Burke, but apparently Trey Burke went over to Carmen's crew. Not happy about that.
Ooh, that's breaking news.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's the word on the street. That's the
Wait
word
a minute.
The
at the game. Hey. The betting line has just changed. Hold on a second.
Hey, Franny the Greek just changed the betting line.
I didn't know that. That's good.
A guy named Louie just got out his eraser. Hey, Louie.
Wait a second here. You talk about breaking news. I mean, can we validate that?
Huh?
Listen.
Validate Trey Burke going to Carmen's crew?
I just read it on ESPN.com.
Oh.
Well, hey, Seth, all I know is this. All I know is this. Vizin has just called Dan. They want him on this afternoon with Brett.
Wow.
Boys in the desert on line two.
I thought it was the only guy that could play for Ohio State and Michigan.
Let me tell you. Uh-oh. I can take whoever's good enough to play. I'm going to yell at a guy right here. Get out. Slow the hell down. All right. Never mind.
All right, I'm going to give you one. My surprise team, it's not a surprise team, Team Challenge ALS, Tyrese Rice. I'm just telling you guys right now.
Yeah.
He is going to absolutely – he's going to be Jerome Randall. He's going to absolutely – he's an addition to Team Challenge ALS. He's going to absolutely tear it up. He is legit. He could be the guy to push him over the top.
Well, don't forget, you know what? If Casper Ware has been a TBT mainstay, you throw those two guys together. And then Marquez Haynes is a kid I've noticed on the roster. He played at UTA. He's one of those guys. That's what I love about this tournament. You know, remember the Tennessee Underdogs last year? And there's so many guys in this tournament. The fans are going to recognize all of the Aaron Kraft type of guys, but they don't really remember how good Tyrese Rice was at Boston College or Casper Ware or guys that played at mid-major teams. That's the beauty of this is guys come out of nowhere and, you know, they do the job, man. It's so much fun to watch. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Freddie, let's go, baby. We're a couple, what are we, 15 days away, 14 days away?
Yeah, stay quarantined now. We don't need any of us. You know how key the broadcasters are to this. This is the whole key to the tournament. So let's make sure all of us do the right thing.
Slow down!
I'm not in the friendly confines of Avon, Connecticut, except to go to Bristol. I'm ready to go. That's about it. We do nothing here, I can tell you. You guys have different situations. We're Greenberg family's in lockdown. So...
I'm gonna be carefully roaming the streets of downtown Indy. So, hey, Dan, are you telling me Steak and Shake is closed?
They were. I think they've closed all their locations. Indy, hey, Fran, we're moving towards 100 murders right now before halfway through. You be careful. I need to get you over to my house. A lot of things going on, brother, but it's going to be fun.
We'll keep our head on a swivel, and can't wait. And, look forward to catching up with you guys, and we'll have fun.
All right, Seth. TBT basketball is back. Can't wait. Fran, you, me, we're going to be on it the entire time. And we're going to be on it here, Seth. We're gonna handicap some stuff, no?
No, no doubt about it. We are going to handicap the TBT. We're going to give you winners. Of course, I think you're 100% correct. There's no doubt in my mind that there will be lines on the TBT, and no one knows more about the TBT than Priscilla Dockett and Greenberg.
Talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to Courtside with Greenberg and Dockett. You can listen and subscribe to all ESPN podcasts in the Listen tab of the ESPN app, including the latest from the NBA and the Hoop Collective podcast, available in the ESPN app or Apple Podcast.